Yeah.
Am I ready to talk, yeah?
Yeah, come on, let's go. Hey, how come he never gets to do the intro?
What, you want him to do it next time?
Are you not on that?
He ain't got the year, he ain't got the bass. You know when man ain't got the bass in their voice? He ain't got it.
I can't take over someone's trademark. He doesn't get to do it. I've done it once before. I've done it all right.
That's his trademark. That's you can't trademark. Take...
Yep. Well, when you're out, man, are screaming,
yeah, man. People message me, yeah. Like,
yeah, this guy's getting a lot of love, you know.
What do you mean, I'm getting a lot of love?
You know what it is? Like, man's out in ditch and you do the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
like, they're like that.
I don't get none of that.
Apologies, guys. Obviously, it's been a little while since we've kind of recorded in these things. What these are talking about is we've been out a few times, like by myself.
No. You've been out. Don't drag us with you.
Connor don't get recognised because obviously his contributions is a bit. But you get what I'm trying to say.
But it's slipping, small podcast and
yeah, man.
Obviously, kind of hailing you up locally.
Yeah, man. I appreciate all the love, like anyone who's come and kind of held me up and said, you know, we're doing our thing with the podcast. We salute you. I hope you're subscribed though.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Like, if you're coming to check me in the real life, I hope you're subscribed.
I was gonna say,
I would hope so.
Nearly out of bag. Yeah, you better start subscribing, boy.
And on that note, if you're here because we look at the analytics of the videos, and 90% of you lot are not subscribed. So you're here, you're watching the video, you're liking the content, but you're not subscribed. So how are you supposed to know when we're uploading in these things? Mm. Man, almost want to guess. We're not doing this guessing stuff. It's strange
word,
to
word
me.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, but anyway.
It's a bit weird, up though, isn't it? Like you're watching a video.
Well, you're not subscribed.
Yeah.
And you're a regular.
Yeah.
What is that, man?
That's bonkers.
That's bonkers. It's absolutely
how mad that is.
What's the psychology behind that? Like,
I don't know, man.
Like, I don't understand. It's a button.
What are you saying? All the things you like watch regularly on YouTube or whatever, you're subscribed.
Definitely.
I'm watching it regularly, yes, 100%. Because every time I go on my home thing, I want it to be the first thing that comes up. If they put something new up or whatever. Like what? What's going on?
We're looking at you like you got
no,
weird.
No, like it's just like, weird honestly. That because if you're watching it regular, if you're not watching it regular, alright, cool, no problem. One off, whatever.
Yeah.
But you're watching it regular. I watch this one, that one, and I'm not subscribed.
Yeah, like. mental. Man. But big up the people who are subscribed, man. We appreciate you like and commenting these things. Let us know the kind of content you want to see. But today, obviously, we're going to chat about quite a few things, but we just want to start with chatting about Newcastle.
Just before you go into that.
Just before
Newcastle.
Even going that. Yeah, go on.
Halloween.
Did you go? Are you a Halloween man, though?
Nah, not personally.
No, but you might have to touch on your shambles, because you was going to go out. You don't have to say where you was going to go.
You don't have to say my shambles.
You're firing shots.
It's not a shambles, but like he wanted to go out like to a pretty...
Which is normal.
Yeah,
which is normal for him.
I don't know.
Normal for him because he's out there.
He
goes out.
Activated.
He enjoys life.
But like Halloween, you had some plans to go to a pretty decent, a decent event. It looked decent.
Perhaps.
But you just didn't.
So what's the shambles?
He didn't have the club together. Like, just couldn't get it together.
Why?
It's not that I couldn't get it together. People just lie. Yeah, I don't know why he's lying on my name.
Tell the people what you was going to go
live.
When you hear his costume, you're going to say, yeah.
Did you buy the costume?
No.
Tell him what you was going to go as.
Wait, hold on. First of all.
He's come on the front.
This is what I'm saying. What, I don't know yeah, what you're going
to they want to get some like juices
come on this Liverpool press. Flipping
out, innit?
And then letting you breathe.
Don't let him down at the table, man.
My first touch, I've just opened up and he's there, bro. But basically, there was Halloween. There was a little function that you needed to kind of have a costume to go to. I was going to go.
You tell me if this is a shambles.
The reason I'm laughing is because I'm just going to laugh. I was going to go as a basketball player. So obviously, I've got my basketball jersey, my shorts. I had a shooting sleeve. I was going to wear the headband, going to get a little mini basketball and do my thing that way. But I went up Central London.
Slam dunk on something.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Is that a costume?
Nah, that's not a costume.
Embarrassing.
What do you mean that's not a costume?
That's like wearing a football kit.
Yeah.
It's not a Halloween costume.
It's a Halloween costume, but it's not a Halloween costume.
It's not a Halloween costume.
Why does Halloween always have to be devilish?
That's what it is,
isn't it? It's Halloween.
Why does it always
have
to be about demonic?
It's supposed to be demonic.
No, it's fancy dress.
No, it's not.
It's not Halloween.
Fancy dress. It's not.
No, yes, it is.
Is there a difference between fancy dress and Halloween?
Yeah.
No, but...
Is there a difference between fancy dress and Halloween?
Yes, there is a difference, but the party was fancy dress. It wasn't... You had to... There was not a theme like scary.
All right, but you would have looked out of place. Dress.
No, I wouldn't. Man, we're wearing like stuff from Netflix shows and all of this stuff to
costumes, though.
Yeah, what? Well, that's not a costume.
No, yeah, they're like that's effort. Yeah, though, like, that's like a character. Yeah, you're trying to be like a
you.
You're trying to, I'm trying to be me.
You're on a, dressing on a hot like, day. Like you could wear that PE.
Yeah, on a hot day. Summertime.
You know what I'm trying to say? Or like, yeah, summertime, hot summertime, yeah. Like in the park or something.
Now you got to do better. It's a good thing that's you didn't go. Awful. So wait, wait, why that's didn't
exactly
you go?
Exactly.
What stopped you from going? Wait, you would have got slam dunked.
Slam dunked.
They would have slam dunked you. Hey,
they would have just closed the door.
Wait, so why didn't you go?
I just weren't feeling it, man. To be honest.
Ah, that's mad. That's
you fair, know, one of them ones.
I like, think, no, but I for you, like, that's bonkers. Why? Like, for him, I get that. Like, he's not on really. For you, and I know the event, yeah. That's your thing. Nah, look at
what
he's
saying. Well, Halloween? No, impossible.
I'm
have
not
you
on
ever
that.
Just stopped Halloween?
No, I'm not on that.
Why?
No, it's not. It's not that I wouldn't even dress up. Like, I don't mind the dressing up thing. I'm not a party person. So I don't see the excitement about getting dressed up, doing this. It's not for me, and it's not my vibe. I'm not really like a clubbing kind of person. So I'm not gonna.
But what if like work were like, oh, like we
yeah, calm. That's a work, dude. That's a thing. I'll do that.
We need to dress up.
Yeah, that's calm. Okay, a work thing's calm. But I'm gonna go out of my way to dress up looking bonkers. I'm not really into, that's not my life.
You're not like, really into all the jacket.
Yeah, it's like you going to kick ball, yeah? To play football. Let's say you don't play football.
Yeah.
But then you're going to play a game with your boys and you buy the latest boots for 250. Are you going to do that?
No, that's not the same, is it?
It is. Because it's like, I'm going out for the first time to do this thing and I'm going to go all out. For what?
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it, right? Like, if you're going to do the Halloween thing, you have to do it.
You have to do all out. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, it's the same thing, isn't
it? Can we just touch on this? So like, let me talk about these outfits for Halloween and going all out.
I rate it. I can't lie. I've seen some amazing outfits.
But yeah. Girls will just, again, this is no disrespect to anyone, but girls will just wear some kind of tights with showing us and have like a devil's horn. And have devil horns or bunny horns, and that's you. You're gone. Because you got your ass out and you got devil's horns. That's an outfit. That's not an outfit, though. But they'll get away with it because that's what they can pattern up with for Halloween. So I don't know, man.
No, but I've seen some wavy outfits, I can't lie, and some like, you know, face paintings and all that. I've seen some cold stuff.
Went,
I can't
a couple
lie.
People went for
I've
it,
seen
man.
Some good stuff, some good stuff out there. Then some people are doing good stuff still.
Yeah, it's not my idea of fun, really, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Nah, it's just not I'm not really a clubbing thing, innit? Like, I'm not against it or nothing. It's just like, if you're in it, that's calm, innit? It's,
I think there's a few things where I didn't go. It was a bit far. The kind of energy in the place. I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. So yeah, man, I kind of just bummed it off. I weren't really feeling it, man. But
well, let us know what you did for Halloween.
Yeah, like big you lot up. If
I wonder if anyone done something different. And like, what I mean by different, obviously everyone's just gone to a party, innit?
I wonder if someone's done a mad thing or something.
Yeah, I don't know if someone's done something different
in the forest. Or I don't know.
Yeah, you see you.
Now, what I would like to do maybe is like one of them like scary escape rooms or something like that. You know, like one of them haunted houses or something like that. That could be all right. Yeah, that could be cool. But yeah, so sorry. Yeah, we're gonna touch on Newcastle. So obviously they've been taken over by this sovereign Saudi wealth fund, been bought for just over 300 million. Obviously Newcastle fans are buzzing because they've had Mike Ashley and they wanted him out for quite some time. So what do you lot think? Like, do you think it was a good move for them not to buy Newcastle? Like, for me personally, obviously I'm hating at the moment because I'm a West Ham fan. We're in a great position. Something like that happening to us, so I'm a bit jealous. But yeah, like, what's you lot's thoughts? Initial reactions?
I think Newcastle is a massive club,
big club.
Let's have it right. Like, they're a massive club. Historically, they've always had their good times as well, like Champions Leagues, Europa League. So there was a point where they were up there in the Premier League. And so I feel like there's great foundations to like go on and do a madness, do the Leicester thing, do the Man City thing. Like, I feel like they could be next up with regards to that. So I think, I don't know, like from like a business perspective, if it's like a good move for them or the Saudis, and I'm sure it is. But like, just from a pure footballing thing and what they can achieve now with the money that they've got, like we've seen the frameworks that, you know, the guys at City have laid down, Leicester, whatever clubs like
Chelsea,
like all of these clubs that get like these now, these men have got unlimited peas basically. And now we know like. what that can do.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know what it is? I felt like football was going, the Premier League was going stale.
You think?
Yeah, and
I think it's on the, not on the up, but like it's pulled away from all of the other top leagues in the world.
Mm. No, not stale like that, but I mean
the
like...
other leagues are stale. If you horrible. Think the Prem's stale.
No, not...
What about La Liga?
Not, sorry, bro, not stale, like, not stale in that sense. It's stale in the way of like, we weren't really getting big players in the Prem.
Mm.
Like...
As in the best of the best. We're getting like, good players, but we're getting the
we
best.
We nurtured the players.
Yeah.
And a part of excitement is I want to see players that, like a Haaland, come when he's ready. We're nurturing players. We're nurturing the Sons, the Rashfords. We're seeing them grow in the league. And for me, that's like, do you know what I mean by stale? We're not going, Haaland, 100 mil, bring him. Do you know what I mean? Him, bring him.
We're
doing Maguire from here to here, 60 mil, 70 mil. Like, it's... between clubs, and I want to see some excitement, and I feel like now we're going to see some players come.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're going to see some excitement. We're going to see something. Do you know what I mean? And I think they're going to bring something.
But do you really think like that, you know, they're going to be able to attract the top players? Because even like Manchester City at the beginning struggled a little bit to get the best of the best. Because it's Manchester, and Manchester's a good city, but it's Manchester. No.
Oh, you'd mean
but I'm talking about for City at the beginning. Mm. Yeah. It was difficult for them to attract players to Manchester. Everyone wants to come to the UK, the one they'd be in London.
Yeah.
And so Newcastle, like, it's very cold, like, attracted some of the... It's a great city. I love Newcastle. Anyone who knows me knows I love going up to Newcastle.
That's a good city.
But in terms of attracting players to live in Newcastle, it's a bit cold. Like, are they going to be able to get a Neymar who's... used to like these like, tropical
done it, though.
Settings.
Like, if you look at like Newcastle's teams over the years, it's the best
players who can go anywhere.
Yeah, but that's based off their like league position. They've been in the champ. They've like
no, for sure.
these things, but like they've got a lot of foreign players.
But the funds like, now are on a different level to Man City had. See, Man City when they first came in, they're offering players 150k, and then they're working towards 100. No, these men are coming in, and it's 300k straight up, 400k. What do you want? 500k?
Take no problem.
It. The money is unlimited. Man City, Abramovich, Chelsea, they forget all that.
Yeah.
These men have got 400 billion.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Your net worth is 400 billion.
Yeah, it's mad. They've got more P's than all of the Premier League owners combined.
All the top 10 owners in the world combined.
Yeah, it's mad.
That's
adding like your Barcelonas, your the Italian giants, the German giants.
It's different.
All together, you're saying we've still got 10 times more than you.
Who do you think they'll get to manage it? Like,
I think they need a manager that's going to be able to build something.
They need a foreign manager.
I don't know if they should go for instant.
Yeah, but at Newcastle, you look at their history, it's been mainly... Englishman, really, except obviously Benitez recently, but they like going for this
British
Newcastle. He knows the city, he knows this, he knows that.
Yeah, I think they got to get a
Yeah, but I don't know. They need someone who can build a project. They can't go for the big manager.
Who would they get now? Like,
you can't get that. This is the problem. Now, all the big players are locked into contracts. Mm. Everyone is locked in. Mm. So the only thing you can do now is get after players that you will take to attract other players. So you see when Man City took over, their first signing was like Robinho. Robinho's not going to be at any club for more than a year. Mm. But you bring him in because he will attract the next
it's
two
intent.
Players.
It shows intent.
Yeah, and it brings the next two. So they got to get players that are informed. So my thing is right now, their first signing is going to be Harry Kane.
That's what you're saying to me yesterday.
It's going to be Harry Kane. He's the only player.
I strongly disagree.
He's the only player you can get out of his contract right now. He's the only one you can get out. Like, I'm saying, like,
that's super elite.
That's a super elite. Bro, if they slap
five.
One, they're going to slap 200 million to Tottenham because they don't care about money. They're nothing.
Fucking,
you know what I mean? They wanted 100 mil. They're going to say 100 mil. Here's 100. Take another 100 for your services. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing to them, but they need a marquee signing in January ASAP. And the only marquee signing you can get right now is Kane. You can't get no one else. There's no other marquee players you can get. And you need a foreign manager to attract players. It's not just the money that attracts players. Big players, the better players, will look who the manager is and want to play for that manager.
Thanks.
That is it. You can't bring an Eddie Howe and say, here's unlimited funds. Who's going to play for Eddie Howe?
What do you think?
Who's going to play for Eddie Howe?
Absolutely.
No one.
And do you think they're going to want like style of football as well. Of course. They're going to want the style. They're going
to
want.
To be fair, Newcastle have always been a team that kind of has like a...
attacking
sporadic players who are like free-flowing and skillful and entertaining. So it does play into the hands of getting these superstars, the name of this world.
But I think
so
when
on.
You get a top manager, he normally comes with a philosophy and understanding. I would like to see Ancelotti, I can't lie. Ancelotti's a guy.
I feel like we've been there, done that with Ancelotti.
Yeah, but right now?
I feel like
he's... would he come right now?
No, not right now, but I feel like if anyone's going to go, it's probably him. Who else would come right now?
I feel like they're going to go for like one of these emerging German managers or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. They're cold. I can't lie.
What's the guy? Is it... Nagelsmann. Yeah, him.
He's wavy.
I feel like they'll go for someone like that.
These men, they won't leave as well because they're not established. If they go to Newcastle and it messes up, you get the chop straight away. Like they've come in, Steve Bruce, they said to him, you're safe. Yeah. 2 weeks later, got the chop. What do you mean you're safe? There's no... These men don't care. They don't care. The money's unlimited. Like, they've bought Newcastle as a hobby. That's how I see it.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
It's a hobby. They've seen something and they've gone, this could be fun.
Yeah.
This could be fun.
I can imagine, like, the broader...
And your hobby, you got to remember, the reason you do your hobby is because it brings you happiness.
Yeah.
Your team's losing.
It's like dream team kind of thing.
Yeah. If it's...
Well, I'm sure it will bring a lot of prosperity to the area as well.
Definitely.
Like, a lot of jobs and like all these kind of
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. They'll
like,
they'll build the city up. But I think I do believe they've done it in the right city as well.
I know.
Because it's
lovely,
a football...
Lovely place.
It's proper, a football city that needed a bit of...
Needed a
lift. A push to get it to its best because they're going to have the support. The fans over there are going to back... the owners to whatever.
Yeah.
Because they, Mike Ashley, as much as abuse they've given him, they still backed him.
Yeah.
They were still there at games, the full stadiums, they had it all covered. Yeah. So imagine now they're going to get owners that are going to give them what the fans want. It's going to be mad. It's great times, man.
But like, what do you think this does for the Premier League now? Because now we have Liverpool have got a lot of money, Man City have got a lot of money, Chelsea got a lot of money, Leicester got a lot of money, Newcastle got a lot of money. Like even teams like Arsenal, they're not they've got money. So like, what does this do to the Premier League now? Are we just gonna see like six cold teams every season?
Whoa, we're kind
Man
of
United got lots
now,
of money,
really, innit? Kind of like there's not that big a gap between the top.
Do you know
and
what?
Six.
You know, have you not noticed what you start to see now that the teams that have got money, they're not actually getting the best players anymore. Like apart from City. Even Liverpool, man, we're talking about Mane and Salah. When they came, they weren't stars.
Oh, nothing, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're stars now. They're probably like 80 million players, £80 million players now.
Yeah.
But when they came, they weren't. Salah weren't. He was a good player.
Yeah.
Mane, good player. Is that Southampton? He come from Southampton.
Bonkers. Yeah.
They weren't like these elite man, Robertson, the Trent.
Yeah.
All of these man, maybe Van Dijk. What was he doing?
He was a good player, but he wasn't like you know.
Exactly.
Talking about him,
so
we're talking
like,
about him now.
When
we
talk about money, they didn't really buy anyone.
True.
They didn't actually buy anyone. City probably and Chelsea are the ones that buy the players. But
I think United have spent a lot recently.
See the other teams; they've got money. They can't spend the money because they can't get the players. Now you're starting to see that.
But
the
of
top
of
the range
have got like players, like you say, that have really improved themselves. Like a Kante, for example. They've just gone on to do madness.
What I'm saying is, before, players used to chase the money. Now, where football pays out so much already, because I think the prices of players' wages has gone like that. Whereas before, players were on like 30, 40K. Inflation. Players are on like a minimum top of the range players, what? 80 to 120K a week?
Minimum.
Do you know what I mean? So, are you going to move for 150 if you're on 100K?
Yeah.
Is it really going to change your life? It's not. So you're starting to see that the top end players ain't budging unless the manager's good, the club is good. So they're now looking into other things. Right, like it's not just about money anymore. So that's why you don't see the top players move as quickly and as swiftly as before. Before, you put money on Robinho, Robinho's come, he's jumping ship straight away.
What's happened with the Brazilians as well, by the way? Just little side thing.
They're the best, man.
But not any like
South Americans.
No, I'm talking Brazilian specifically. Like,
as in
like,
the Brazil
team. I'm sure I looked at their team the other day and it was like all stiff man.
What like Fred and these?
Like,
man,
except Neymar.
Rafinha was playing from
every man was like
from
Leeds. Oh, okay.
He's in the Brazil team.
He does a mad thing.
He's
for
cold,
them.
Though.
Bro, have
cold,
you seen what he was cold, doing though. The other day when they were
but
playing?
But like, generally speaking, I don't feel like it's as mad as it used to be.
This isn't cold, but this is what I mean.
This isn't a gold. But we had we're spoiled. We grew up on a golden generation of Brazilian football. Like
it's diluted. They've won a lot of World Cups.
They have. But like, there's gonna be
mad generation.
No, but there's gonna be a stale part. Like you can't just be dope for 7 years. You know what I'm saying?
Even when Robinho and like it was still saucy and that. Like it doesn't feel Brazilian.
No, but they got Neymar. They got the Vinicius Junior. They got a few.
It's not the same, bro. They're saucy for now, but they're not.
It's not the same levels.
Nah, their team's different.
Even Spain, same thing. Like teams have to cool down. But it'll also be interesting to see what the owners do for Newcastle's academy. Like, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but Newcastle isn't renowned for producing great players. No. If you look at Chelsea, for example, that's a great example of, I think Abramovich came in like, what was it, 04?
Yeah, they've done well, man.
So players that would have been under nines, under eights, or just coming into the academy then, are now coming into the first team, kind of.
Or having a career in football.
That you're seeing the Mason Mounts, the Tammy Abrahams, the Dom Solankes, the Reece Jameses, the Chalobahs, that all of these that have come through in the time because they've been able to develop an academy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in 10 years' time. Are we going to start to see some really good players, English players?
You know what, Chelsea, I can't lie. When it comes to the academy, they've always been on point with their coaches.
Mm.
At the moment at clubs, you go to clubs and maybe not the top five. Okay, the top five probably have good coaches. But when you go to the other clubs, some of the coaches ain't great.
Really?
It's not great because, one, the wages ain't great. The players, and you're asking, they have this thing where they want ex-players to coach. But imagine if an ex-player's on 50 grand a week.
Yeah.
You're not asking him to coach and you're paying him 30 grand a year or 40 grand a year. Like, and you want him to pass on all this knowledge, all this. I'm not saying you got to pay him.
Is it even the case that...
I'm not saying you got paid 50
the
bags.
Big club, obviously. Even at the big clubs, like, is the salaries for coaches at bigger clubs a lot more than, like, mid-table?
Yes, bro.
Like, a lot more. Like,
yes, bro. There's, like, lower-end Premier League clubs that I know of, academy managers, or I would say under-18, under-23 coaches on, like, 20, 25k a year, bro. Mm. And when you're doing 18s, 23s, you're in 7 days a week. You're basically part of the first team.
Yeah.
You're in every single day, let alone the reports you have to do on every player, the movement of players that you got to do, all of that. You're on 25. Let's say you're even on 30K.
Yeah.
30K to be 7 days a week and you're a youth team manager or under-23s manager. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. That's like you. They're relying on you to develop the next bit of talent.
But the top clubs, then it's how much?
I don't know where the top clubs you're probably looking at maybe 50, 60K.
But even
which is understandable, I get it. But even like if you're in the Premier League, you can't have a coach that's doing under-18, under-23. And you've got to remember the coaches that are in them jobs, most of them are guys that have played the game. They're ex-pros.
True, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then you're asking them to be on like 25K. They're only gonna last so long before they say, oh, safe, I'm gone. And then the next person that comes in is a guy that hasn't played the game at the highest level. He's probably played low end level, no disrespect, but he ain't gonna give as much experience to the. Do you know what I mean? And it's like
So why hasn't the money filtered down from these gigantic clubs with lots of money into the managers though? Like it filters down to the players. You see under 23 players that are on the bag a week. How can the players be on more than the gaffers?
And you know what's worse as well? 17, as you go
that much more, like that much.
You know what's worse as well? As you go down lower, so you filter to like under 10s, 11s, 12s, 13s, 14s, bro, the money gets lower and lower.
Yeah.
Like some coaches are like full time, they're part time, but they're doing 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. So when I say 5 days a week, I'm talking like you're doing a Monday night, Tuesday night, let's say Wednesday night, Thursday night, and a Saturday game. That's 5 days and I'm part time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I have to do all the paperwork, all those session plans, all of this. How does that make sense?
The coaching, in this country is bad. It's been a problem for a while.
Yeah.
Because the money doesn't filter down to the coaches and bro, the work.
So like at Chelsea now though, would you say, like you said, okay, they're paid.
At Chelsea, you'll be nice. You'll be good.
You'll be calm.
Like, at Arsenal, you'll be good. Right. Like they're top United, end clubs, you'll be good. But you go to like some clubs, bro, and you're just like, what? Yeah. And you see, like no disrespect to the coaches.
Is that
are
why
there.
Less, do you think that's the reason maybe less players are coming through?
Yes, of course. Less players are getting developed to come through to whatever the first team they're at because of the coaching. And it's no disrespect to the coaches. The coaches are doing what they can. But you can't help that someone that has a better understanding of the game, that's played the game, is gonna, the kid's gonna benefit more because they know ins and outs. It's just how it works.
In an ideal world, surely you'd want to have like
the best coaches.
Yeah, the best coaches, and like as a director of a club, you'd want that funnel of players coming from locally and all. Like, surely you'd want that, right?
Yeah. Like, but it's like they don't want to pay out, but they'd rather pay for the under 18 kid that's coming through and giving.
But maybe they just don't have the finances, right? Like, maybe they no, but some of these clubs, like a lot of football clubs, are not profitable.
No,
right? So where you can cut
no, no,
where you can cut corners, you will. A lot of these Premier League clubs are in debt, but like, they're not profitable.
You're cutting corners on the development of your players.
But they'll just be like, well, all I care about is the first team. Like, the academy is something I kind of have to have. But as long as the first team is doing well, I don't really care what.
But if one kid comes through and you sell him for $1 million.
Of course. But a lot of them won't see it like that. Do you get what I'm saying?
But they,
on like a chance. They're like, well, it's a chance.
Or we're talking about Premier League clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
yeah.
not talking about Champions. Yeah. I don't even want to go into that. We're talking about Premier League clubs. Exactly. It's crazy what they're getting, like how the coaches get looked after. It's like school teachers.
Yeah.
You know, they do all this work and I don't think they get what they deserve.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I feel the same way for coaches that coach at academies at the lower end, at the from like up until the under 16, 16, 15, 14, bro, they don't get what they deserve.
No.
Like, they definitely don't.
Is there something that does it change? Is it like FA kind of need to be involved, or does it change with like owners taking over clubs and reshaping everything?
The owners need to filter the money down. Yeah. They probably don't give them, the academy, the budget that it deserves, that they can. They'll try and, like you said, cut corners where they can with coaches. Oh, yeah, we'll just get him in. We'll just get him in. He'll, like, do you know what I mean? He's desperate for a job. I'll get him in.
But I feel like it would just be, but just thinking from the league as a whole standpoint, or just like youth football in this country, if you can play the players the most and you can get the best coaches, this is not just going to create a huge disparity in the level that the top six clubs that have loads of money have the best coaches, can pay the players the most, and then everyone else is just like there.
But yeah, everyone can't be the lit. Like, everyone can't be lit, though, can they?
Yeah, but...
like, if we have... okay, well, I think a healthy prem is, like, let's say 8 to 10 teams that are, like, pushing and the rest are on their way. Right. Like, everyone in the league can't be lit, can they?
No. But then we're talking about youth football. We're not talking about the actual Premier League. We're talking about, like, youth football. Like, if Chelsea are just battering every team bar Arsenal and West Ham, let's say.
What you mean at the youth level?
Yeah, at the youth level, 11-0, because they've got the best coaches and they have the most amount of money. Is that what really what we want for youth football in this country? Do you know what I'm saying?
But if they're investing in their academy, they're investing in their academy, exactly, innit? Everyone else, take the L. Like, you don't want to invest in your academy. What do you expect, exactly, innit?
Yeah.
And then you know what you hear as well? When like a Chelsea will play a club or whatever, you hear the clubs go, yeah, but four of their players are foreign. They bought them in from blah, blah, blah. Yeah, what? Why can't you do the same thing?
Exactly, and shouldn't these clubs with less money than these top six, they should be like, oh, this is where we need to invest our money because we can't go and splash X amount on a first team Brazilian superstar.
Like, exactly,
first team. So we should be trying to double down on getting good coaches, making our academy lit, because that's like an avenue for us to try
get
and compete.
Yeah, compete.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't think about it like that.
You never know, bro. You never know what goes through their mind.
So can you make a good living off of being a coach like in the UK? Because I've heard a lot of people talking about it. We've had friends and stuff go to the US because it seems to be a lot more prosperous and have like a better career and better like lifestyle and more money. It's like, obviously, you know more about coaching in the UK. Can you make a good living off of being a coach or not really?
Depends.
I'm talking like academy, not like first team coaches. I'm talking like being an academy coach.
You can make a good living out of it at the stake of your time. At the stake
of your time, like yeah.
Yeah, at the stake of you got to swap it for your time. So right. You can make decent, you can earn good money.
Yeah.
But is it worth the time and the sacrifice you have to give?
Yeah.
Mm. For me, it's no. That's why I've not been involved and I wouldn't go into it. Because you've got to sacrifice your life, basically.
Yeah.
Like, being a football coach at this country, I believe, you've got to be a single man. It's like
that bad.
You've got to be a single man.
Because of the weekends.
The weekends, the days that you have to do. You might have to work on the night time. If there's a game at night, you've got to take a game at night. So imagine they train, let's say Monday, Tuesday, then there's a game Wednesday night. Then they're back in for Thursday, Friday. Sure. Thursday recovery, Friday whatever training. Then there's another game on a Saturday.
Yeah.
6 days. Then you've got to come on a Sunday to do all the reports, blah, blah. You're in 24-7.
What time
are you going to have for your family, for your kids or whatever it is that you've got going on? So if you're single and you want to get to the top of football, you've got to be single, you've got to make a lot of sacrifices. Right. If you want to be happy and enjoy what you're doing, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it pays enough to give you that satisfaction. But for some people, their satisfaction isn't the money. Their satisfaction is being involved in a club and having a badge saying, I work for this football club. When they get up every single day, there's a sense of belonging. Do you get what I'm saying? Because some people have not played the game. Like, we've been lucky enough to play the game and have had that feeling of like, we are some, like, not somebody's, but you know what I mean? We've, some people that have never played the game are desperate to be coaches, to be part of a club, to say, I work for it, blah, blah, blah. Not in a rude way, but that's just how it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's just life, isn't it?
Are you laughing?
Like, it's not, not, I'm not even saying it in a rude way, but some it's people just, haven't played and they're so desperate to be involved in football because in football, why is he laughing?
I don't know.
Why is he laughing?
Are you laughing?
The way you describe these men, because I know, like, the type, right? Like, they're just...
But it's not no fault of their own. They're just so desperate to be in football, which is fine, and they're doing everything they can, but then it's undercutting all the other people that are trying to get in that can actually bring more value.
Yeah,
but it's not their fault, is it? Because they're so desperate to be in it, they'll do it, and no one blames them. And then you just got to do what you got to do.
But I'm just laughing because, like, having the notoriety of saying you work for X person, whether it's a football club or some company or whatever, like... Why does that matter? I work for Chelsea's and
that doesn't validate
you.
Because you know why.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't validate. That's why I'm laughing. Because like, you're so like,
even
to say,
someone's like, oh, I work for Chelsea, I work, like, the usual reaction is like, oh, really?
That's what people think.
But then, do you know what it is? That means football is an opinionated game. If you don't have a badge, or you've done nothing in the game,
you can't go to.
Let's say you go to watch, I don't know, two local teams, QPR and Tottenham. You go to watch the game and then you see a guy sitting there and you have a conversation. If you're not wearing nothing and you're wearing something, you won't listen to me because you're wearing a badge and I'm not. And you think, this guy's chatting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If I go now to my car, get my jacket and come back second half, now you won't have a conversation because I've got a badge that says QPR. It says Arsenal or Tottenham because now, he's in the club. So his opinion is valued. Are you crazy? I've played the game. I've been in the game just because I don't have a badge. You think you know more than me and you've done nothing.
Sound like you're talking from experience.
I am. because I've had, you know.
Just another little side. Like, you tweeted something the other day. You said,
when you look like a baller, but you're not a baller.
When you look like you're a baller and you're not a baller. What was that about? Can you expand on that?
You know what, bro?
So the tweet was when you...
You look like a baller, but you're not a baller.
Yeah.
And then one of these funny emojis.
Can you expand on that just briefly?
Just when you look like something that you're not, innit?
What?
And you dislike that?
Yeah, it's just not for me, innit? it's like someone showing they got money, but you ain't got money.
In the context of like, well, man, when you say like, look, was it they were wearing the tracksuit to the game or was it the actual, the actual kit?
No,
like,
so I play non-league, innit?
Yeah.
And I've seen, man, that look fuck wavy.
We say the best boots, like, tape,
bro,
like, all this kind of stuff.
Like, I'm seeing that, man. Socks. It just looks wavy. I just think, yeah, you're sick, man. The way they talk and, you know, like, they've got everything going on. And you step on the pitch and you're like, huh?
it's not adding up.
It's not, something's not right here. I'm not good at maths, but saying ain't adding up. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking,
what, so you'd rather man look dusty?
But I'm not saying look dusty. I'm saying look good, but... You see, when you bring the talk with it and the way you walk
you
and the way...
Have to, like, you
know,
have
like,
to,
the way they're talking on the pitch, you're thinking, right, this
you
guy,
should have to do some things.
I've got to be wary of my man. Watch him. Then you're going on the pitch and your dog. What the hell's going on?
Like, focusing on the wrong things.
Yeah, like, I just, it's not for me, innit? But each to their own, innit? Some people are, you know, they believe in, like, look good, feel good. I'm on it. to be fair, I'm probably one of them, you know? I'm not even gonna, like...
Like, you can't...
I'm probably one of them. I wear flary boots. I wear gloves, like any, short sleeves.
But that's what I'm saying. Any sport you do, don't you want to have like the best kit? You want to feel
100%.
Like, you want things to.
But you gotta have some sort. You gotta back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. We're not saying you gotta be the best player or you gotta be wavy, but you gotta
have something.
Yeah. Or
you can't just be there for a stage.
Or look the part. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't talk. But I've seen the way some man talk. It's crazy.
That's why I'm not playing.
I'm like, it's bro, how can you? And you know what it is? It's not even talking like to me or to my team. The way they talk to their own teammates. I'm like, well, you're superior to him.
But what if they were talking to you?
No, I can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know why? One, you can't get in my head.
Yeah.
Two, I wouldn't give you the time of day for you to have that you wouldn't be able to get a conversation out of me on the pitch. I'm not entertaining nothing. I'm just enjoying my football. Yeah. I don't care what you got. Even if you said something, it would go in one ear or other ear. But like, you know, some people, they look like they say something. You know, they try to get a reaction out of you. Like the other day we was playing and you know, like the ref blew the whistle. So I was walking and you just went boom in my chest. Like, you know, like not hard, but like he stiffened up.
Why though? What? You're walking past each other.
I said something to the referee. Right. Yeah, they got a foul, whatever. I was facing that way and I've turned around to walk to and then he just like, so then like he went like that. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, I know the one you're talking.
But
yeah.
You know what I've done? I just carried on walking and then I turned around and he's like looking back like, is he going to say something?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, in my head, I'm thinking, bro, please allow it. What are you doing?
What are you
doing?
Trying to achieve here?
Yeah, like, do you want a reaction?
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, what happened? He took a loose touch, clapped him. Now what are you doing? And then I just looked at him and I went, are you all right, yeah? It's like, you know, like, I'm calm. I'm not even angry. Yeah, yeah. But he took a loose touch.
Boom.
Knee's gone. I've scraped the hole from his knee down to his shin. He's X'd. No, I looked at him and I'm like, are you all right, yeah? And then he's going nuts at the referee. Then I'm just carrying on with my game, and I'm thinking, if you're gonna do something and you're gonna try and hurt me or something, or
let's
like,
do this.
Just do what you gotta do, innit? Like, I'm not gonna fight you. I'm not gonna shout. I'm not gonna scream.
I've done that.
Yeah, bro. Like, you
I
know,
it's childish.
In my head, I was like, "What are you doing?" Childish. Yeah, it was funny still. And then 2 minutes later, he's on the deck. It happens, and I'm not even that kind of player. But I just thought, you're dumb. You're being stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
So just like on the topic of money, because we're talking about like money for coaches and stuff, like something that I kind of touched on and will kind of lead us into the next part of the conversation. But something I kind of touched on social media the other day was about like, can you get rich off of a 9-to-5? Can you get wealthy off the 9-to-5? And I feel like there's a bit of a notion that you can't do that. Like there's this quote by Kevin O'Leary that's like, he's an investor. That's a salary is the incentive they give you to forget your dreams. I'm like paraphrasing, but something along them lines. Yeah. I'm just like, what are you talking about?
So what's your answer to that?
Can you get rich off of a 9-to-5. Like,
but doesn't it depend on what?
Of course, it depends on everything.
You have to be in a certain bracket, no?
Yeah, you have to be working a certain industry. Well, not even really.
Wait, when you say rich, you say.
Yeah, but again, rich is subjective. If you're talking Roman Abramovich and these kind of people and that's these Saudi different. Owners, that's a different kind of, but rich in the conventional sense, right? You probably own your house. You might have a car. You can go on a few holidays. Like you can buy whatever you want pretty much within reason. Like you're good. That's what most people would consider rich/wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can obtain that from working a 9-to-5. But there seems to be this narrative on social media that everyone has to be an entrepreneur, like everyone has to have their own business and blah, 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 blah.
Everyone's got to have a side hustle.
Everyone's got to have a side hustle, yeah.
But it's also the 9-to-5 I have an issue with, like, because if you're screaming, all right, you're going to do this entrepreneurial stuff, you're going to be working way more hours than 9-to-5. You're not working 9-to-5. You're working like...
two jobs.
You're working 24/7, bro. Like, but if you want to do this entrepreneurial thing and you want to blow and you want to bust and you want to become a millionaire... You're not working 9-to-5.
No, you're doing two jobs.
It's because that people see the entrepreneurs now at the end of their journey, where they're on Instagram, they're on the golf course, they're in Dubai doing mad thing with seven girls and a yacht and all this thing, and they're like, oh, I want that. But they don't understand to get there, they had to work 365 days for 5 years straight. Right. Some people haven't got that in them, which is fine. Like, not everyone can be an entrepreneur. Not everyone's going to have a yacht.
I'm not on that. I can't lie. I ain't got that in me.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to have a yacht.
That's fine.
It's okay. Like, society tells you,
like,
there's
other ways, like, to make money. Like, you can be a very good employee.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
A very good one.
Like,
no, 100%.
Like, if you look at, for example, some of these big, huge companies, they're like the CEOs of these companies, the CFOs, they're all employees. They have employment contracts and they're paid salaries to fulfill their duties for the company. That's it. And they get paid millions of pounds to do that. It's okay to be an employee. It's okay to work for someone else. Like, it just seems like there's this narrative that everyone has to be an entrepreneur. Like, if you're not working for yourself, you're not a boss, blah, 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 blah. All this stuff. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, a boss should be someone who takes care of their family. As long as you can look after your family, you got enough money to cover your bills and look after yourself, look after your people. That's a boss to me.
You'd be surprised how much you actually need of a salary to live decent.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need as much as you might think, especially if, like, you know, most people will be in, like some sort of relationship and you're going to share a lot of costs and stuff. If you're both on, let's just say, 40K a year, like, that's 80K between you. Like, that's you can what, do that's, some you're things, doing well, like, man. You invest in some stuff and, like, you're alright.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're fine. Like you're cool, innit? Like even 30k each. Like, yeah.
But why? Where do you think this comes from? Like, why do you think it is that people think you can't have a normal job and like reach whatever financial goals that there are?
I just think as humans, there's always you've got that you know that feeling that there's always you want to get the next thing and the next thing. So when you was a kid, you probably got to the age of 16, 17, 18, you thought, when I get my first job, I can't wait to get paid. I don't know, what do you get paid? 100 quid?
Yeah, whatever.
100 quid a week or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I can buy some trainers.
Yeah.
And you're buzzing now, you're high of life. Then you do that for a couple of months and you're like, nah, man, I need to get a better job. Then you get a better job. Now you're not buying trainers. Now you're buying a big jacket. You're buying some jeans. And it's always that. So like next some people thing, would be on like 20K and then they get what they need to get and then they think, oh, nah, this is not enough because I can't get that now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas at the first you're like, oh, I need to get a car. Then you get a car and you're like, wait, but I need to get another car. I need to get a bigger car because this ain't enough.
Yeah,
so
when people's salary goes up, so does their lifestyle.
And that's how people are always in a rat race or they're not always because what they're doing is every time their wages upgrade, they have to upgrade their life. That's not how it works. You got to find your balance in your life regardless of what you earn. Mm. Once you got your balance in your life, your money goes up, but your life stays the same.
Facts.
Then you're not in a rat race. Then you're calm.
Facts.
But do you know how hard that is?
Of course.
To earn more money and not upgrade your life. Bro. Yeah.
But at the same time,
bro,
it's I do also, agree with that, yeah.
It's also okay for you to upgrade your life a little bit. We have to find the balance, right, of not taking the piss. Like, so you can, if you double your salary, let's just say you go from earning 30K to earning 60K, you can afford to maybe go to some nicer places to eat, get some nicer clothes. Mm. But you also need to probably increase how much you were saving or whatever, if you were saving before, or let's say you weren't saving at all, start saving. It's okay for you to find the balance of upgrading your life and doing nicer things for yourself.
No, I've got 100%.
But at the same time, you're absolutely right. Like, people, let's just say they're earning an extra £500 a month, they'll spend the whole extra 500.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're in the same place now.
But the thing is, I feel like people have to think about what it is that actually makes them happy as well.
Definitely.
Like, is getting a new car genuinely going to make you happy? If it is, cool.
Yeah.
Get the car. Like, no one's saying, like, I don't, like, do your thing. But what if it's, I double my salary from 30 to 60K, now I can get the personal trainer that I wanted. Or now I can start getting the cooking lessons that I wanted. Or now I can... You should look at it as an opportunity to, like, better yourself, not to buy these, like,
material things.
Because it's not really going to add any substance in it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for, like, oh, like, I increase my wage. I now want to get... I want to go to a high-end gym now. Because it's more motivating for me and more social. And, like, that's all good stuff, like. But there's a level of frivolous nature.
Yeah, I don't think enough people know what makes them happy. Like, they don't find the balance. They're always chasing. You're chasing the next thing. And it's like them people that work Monday to Friday and then they can't wait for the weekend to get here. The weekend comes like, oh my God, I didn't have my weekend. Now I'm back to Monday.
Yeah.
You know, like, everything's a rush and you're like, why are you, like, on fast forward the whole week?
Fast forward.
You're on, like, fast forward the whole week. Like, on 7 days a week, you're on fast forward.
Yeah,
but so, just... Because your life's not balanced.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. When I see, you see, like, you see people and they're in a rush all the time, or you see, like, they put this post up and it's like, oh my God, it's Monday already. I didn't have a weekend. I wish I had a long weekend, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's like every Monday, it's near enough the same conversation that you see they put on their story or whatever, or you might speak to them at work. It's the same thing. You get to Thursday and Friday, it's the same conversation again. You get to and it's like, bro, you're just doing the same thing. It's like you're stuck in a circle. So when are you gonna?
I was talking to someone about this the other day. I'm like, especially a city like London, where there's like, there's really no reason to not have interests. Like, there's so much going on in London. Like, if nightlife is not your scene, like, there's museums. If museums not your scene, there's cuisine. If there's cuisine, there's art. If it's not art, there's tourism. If it's not tourism, there's sports. There's so much going on. Like, to that's because sometimes I feel like people don't have hobbies. Like, we're lucky, like, we've had football and we've had, like, other things to keep us. But some people don't have hobbies.
No, they don't have a hobby.
But like, they don't do nothing.
But
is that not crazy?
But you know, like, even with what you're saying there, yeah, that's part of the problem why people are in a rush.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things to do, it's like, I need to do this.
They're not doing these things. I disagree. I think they're not doing any of these. I don't know, like, many people who say, oh, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I went to the British Museum and for the whole weekend and I was just looking at, like, yeah, I don't...
But people are just going out. That's their hobby, isn't it? The nightlife thing. People are just chasing.
Because, no, what
but
I'm saying is
in
because
in
there's
our
so many
circles, probably.
Yeah, but I'm saying because there's so many opportunities to do things. Maybe they're not doing the right things, but they're constantly doing something.
Yeah.
Sometimes just go home, chill, put the TV on, make some food, and just
eat
relax.
The book, whatever.
Yeah. Or just chill with your friend indoors and just watch a TV or what. Just relax. Take a minute. You know what I mean? Some people will go from work out, won't be home till 9:30 p.m. Shower, eat. It's 11 o'clock.
And then you go again.
Sleep, and then you're going again the next day, and then you're doing it again. And before you know it, people that work in the city, they go Thursday night. Don't they? You go out on the
Thursday night.
Yeah, you're doing
Thursday's
like,
hard though.
I don't know, and I'm not gonna comment. But yeah,
these men fully on the Thursday missed. But yeah, go and say
this guy does Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I'm winning.
That's bonkers.
Come
that's
on,
bonkers, man. That last does.
Let's have it.
No, I don't. Yeah,
no, but you're before, dumb. Just like. I don't want people to think that we're preaching, right? Like, oh yeah, be financially responsible, do this, be that.
Oh, we've all made mistakes, man.
Like, I'm a young person who, I spend a lot of money on trainers. I got loads of pairs of trainers. And the reason I have
some
lots of trainers.
Stinkers as well.
Yeah, coming from you. Your trainer collection, don't ever get into it.
Yeah, you man's trainer collection is questionable still, I can't lie.
You man, my thing is cold.
No, both of
you. My trainer collection is better than both of yours. But anyway, let me just finish my point.
No.
My trainer collection is better than both of you.
No,
do you want to do
it
this?
It might be more expensive.
No, it's not about expense.
And it might
my
be more branded.
No, yeah, my exactly. trainers are more messed than your
some
trainers.
Some of your trainers, no. Some of the trainers messed. That you wear are good trainers,
yeah.
But it doesn't go with your outfit. All right. That's what you're saying, isn't it? Is that what you're saying? All right, cool. I wear Nike trainers and I can get them out.
Is that what you're doing?
Is that what you're doing? That's a perfect bro, thing to put it. So, because I was trying to deep it. Is it the trainer
it's
or
not,
is the way he's dropping
bro, it? He's got cold trainers. Don't
but
get
it's
me
the
wrong.
Way he's dropping
he's got
it.
Bonkers trainers at mad prices. That doesn't mean you've
it's
got cold
prices,
trainers.
But it's just not.
That's like me getting trainers and paying £400 or £500. Then I'm wearing them with like some bunker stuff. And my trainers looking rubbish. The hell?
No, hold on.
See,
let me defend
me.
Myself.
Wait.
No.
See for me.
So if you ever see
wait,
a man,
hold on,
yeah,
hold on.
Like,
you see for me, cold trainers, yeah. They got to look cold when you wear them with your outfit. They can't be cold in the box.
Yeah.
Cold in the box. Yeah,
no, never.
You're cold in the box.
Oh, man said I'm cold in the box. My thing, no one can
I
say to
Fox
me, when
in
I go
the box.
Out and I step, I always step correctly. I don't know what you're talking about. Always. I'm certified in the streets. I'm certified in the streets. You can't talk that stuff. I'm certy. But anyways, the point I was trying to make is that I buy a lot of trainers, and the reason I buy trainers is because growing up, I couldn't always have the waviest Air Max 90s or the maybe man had to wait or man had to save up. So now that I've got a bit more money, I spend it. So spend your money on whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, don't put yourself in a position where you're just chasing and you never really feel like you're elevating.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're wanting to splash on some Canada Goose jacket, because some girl might like you. Because
you don't do Canada Goose, Moncler,
Moncler, whatever it
I'm
is.
I'm still saving
Moose
for
knuckles.
That. Yeah,
same.
I've been saving seven years,
5 years for my Moncler.
Because you know people might like you because you're wearing because it gets old quickly. But to your point though, that you were saying about why you always feel like you're in fast forward, I feel like there is a bit of a reason for that, and it's going to take me into the final bit of what I'm talking about, and it's like what. 30k was to our parents is different to what 30k would have been in 2005, which is different to what 30k would be now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you take it back 5 years, and the reason for that is because like of what you spoke about earlier, inflation, but also like the value of our money is going down, and so every single year we need more money to do the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And like to put that in layman's terms to someone who doesn't really understand is that the government has an aim for prices to increase 2 or 3% every year. Like you can check their manifestos. That's the aim for prices to increase 2 or 3% every year. So that means that I need to earn 2 or 3% more every single year to just maintain your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say you want to elevate your lifestyle. What is that percentage? Let's say you want to take it really, really to the next level. What is that percentage? And so that's why something like Bitcoin is important, because it kind of takes you out of the system where you're constantly chasing that 2 or 3%. So for example, since the pandemic has happened, I think I've read an article, and I can't remember if this was the US or in the UK, but energy prices have gone up by 25%, we spoke about this. We just recently moved into this place. Connor's just moved from his place, his old place. And you said the bill's gone up by like a couple of hundred quid, right?
What's that?
Your energy, like gas and electric bill has gone up
significantly.
And so if you're someone who hasn't had a significant increase in wages over the last year, you're now behind because the energy price has gone up 20-25% and you're only making an extra 5%, let's just say, from last year. And so you're at a loss of 20% just there. And if you're already at a point where it was close for you, like you were just getting by, and now you've had to take this 15% hit. And that's why it's important to look at something like Bitcoin. So we spoke about Bitcoin at the top of the year. It was about 30K.
Yeah, this is January, early January.
Early January, we spoke about it. Bitcoin and gold setting. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. We spoke about it. It was about 30K at that point. So if you listen to the conversation we had, it piqued your interest. Maybe you dove down the rabbit hole, invested a little bit. It's now at around 60K. So you would have doubled your money.
Dollars, by the way.
Dollars. This is US dollars. You would have doubled your money. So we've got our in-house Bitcoin guru with us. Connor, he's actually going to talk at a conference next month about Bitcoin. In where are you going, Con?
El Salvador, the Mecca.
The Mecca of Bitcoin.
Old Bitcoin, not just Bitcoin. Like
old in case Bitcoin.
Yeah, like old Bitcoin.
Have you said he changed his tone of voice all of a sudden? Mad respect on that.
But it's going to be lit still.
Is there anything that we didn't really talk about in the last episode about Bitcoin that you think is important for people to understand about Bitcoin? Because I feel like a couple of people have messaged me, probably loads of people have messaged you about, like, they don't understand it. So, like, is there a way for you to be able to break it down quite simply on why it's important?
Yeah, I mean, I try my best. It's not.
Yeah, it's not easy. Definitely not easy
thing to explain. Like I said, like, as a first call to action would be to check out Hello Bitcoin and the videos that me and my team have produced on that stuff, like 7-8 minute videos. Like, you should really take the time to try and digest some of those.
Mm-hmm.
You might not get all of it straight away, and you shouldn't. Like, any technology is going to take you a while to understand. And I wouldn't necessarily feel like you have to understand it all. When you go through your everyday life, you don't necessarily know how the combustion engine works in your car, but you know how to, you just know its utility allows you to get from place A to B safely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's important enough. Mm-hmm. So the comparison in Bitcoin is, you know that if you save your money using Bitcoin, the value and the purchasing power will increase over the long term. Sometimes that's just enough. Sometimes that's all you need to know. And like the historical data and how it's behaved over the last 10 to 11 years should give you some level of confidence that it's here to stay. Now, if you want to dive deeper down the rabbit hole, you have to start asking yourself questions on like what the nature of money is, why money is important, all these things. And I don't know, don't need to go into it in this conversation, but the main reason that it's able to, you know, store value and maintain its purchasing power over the long period of time is because it has a fixed supply. There's only ever going to be 21 million. No more, I should say. Well, there's never going to be more than 21 million Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And no one controls it. So no one can change the amount of new money that comes into existence. Why that's important is because we've just gone through like a pandemic, for example, where the government have said, okay, we're going to close down businesses and we're going to create new currency and dish it out to the citizens of the nation.
That's furlough scheme. If
so you don't the furlough understand. Scheme, or what was it in America? It was like, what did they call it?
Stimulus checks.
So stimulus checks if you're in the US and furlough scheme if you're in the UK. So they just say, okay, we're gonna ask our central bank essentially to create new currency, and we're going to compensate people for not being able to go to work.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that you reduce everyone else's purchasing power. It's almost like a hidden tax on people who are saving, because it means the more currency in circulation, you've got more money chasing the same amount of goods and services. And the money usually goes to people who are in positions of like high financial influence, and they'll use this money because when governments print money, they give it to like large investment banks and all of these kind of things, and they'll use it to like buy like property or businesses and things of this nature.
Mm.
And so it essentially just makes the prices of everything increase. And so it's people like us, well, mainly the lower classes that are affected suffer the most.
Definitely.
They, one, don't have a lot of savings. And if they do, their savings just gets wiped out.
Yeah.
So...
So, Abs, do you, because obviously you know less about like Bitcoin than say Connor does for sure, for me and me. Like, do you, what do or don't you understand about it?
What do I don't understand?
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to wrap your head around it, but I'm trying to get it so that it's simpler for people to understand, because I think it's important. Because like, basically, what to expand on what Connor has said. Essentially, what these central banks do, and every central bank does it, whether it's the Bank of England, whether it's the European Central Bank, whether it's the Federal Reserve in the US, they, when they want to put money into an economy through these stimulus checks or whatever, they basically buy what it is, bonds from private banks. Without getting into too much detail, they give money to private banks, and then these private banks can then loan this money out to investors, these high net worth individuals. Mm-hmm. Because they're high net worth individuals, they basically give it to them for no interest. So they're basically giving them free money.
Yeah. Loans.
Loans at zero interest. Mm. And so basically free money to these people who would then go and buy real estate, who would then go and buy...
whatever they want.
Go and invest in the stock market, all these things. And you see that because, for example, if you look at the S&P 500, which is the stock market in the US, the top 500 companies, I think 5 days after the pandemic, it hit an all-time high. Now that doesn't, or maybe a week after, that doesn't really make sense. So the economy is in decline, people are losing their jobs, businesses are closing down, but the stock market, which is supposed to be a proxy for the economy, is at an all-time high. There's a disparity there, because when these central banks give these banks these money, it goes to these high net worth individuals, they invest in the stock market, real estate, like I said. And so that's why it's harder for people like us, when we want to go and buy properties and all of these things, we're thinking... Like 10 years ago, this property was this, and now next year it's doubled in price. Yeah. How? And I'm only earning an extra 5% every year. How on earth am I going to do that? Mm. And that's because of this system where money comes from the central bank into society, goes to the high net wealth individuals, and by the time it trickles down to us, the prices of everything have skyrocketed, and so we're in a worse position.
Yeah. So I would definitely just look at it like this is the new generation's way of saving.
Yeah.
In our environments, in the West, where we live, the use case is completely different if you're from an emerging market where you don't have a bank in the first place. So I don't really want to touch on that. Like, I think that's maybe one for another episode. But that really goes into being able to use Bitcoin as like a payment mechanism, like... And stuff like El Salvador, where they've made Bitcoin like legal tender, so it's like a currency you can use to buy services and
goods. Go to McDonald's, use Bitcoin.
Buy Costa with Bitcoin and all these kind of things in El Salvador, first country to ever do it, so big them up. But for us, it's about maintaining our purchasing power for the most part, because we have banks, we have all these things that we can buy stuff online, but there's a large portion of the world that can't do that, and so this helps onboard them to be able to use financial stuff without the need of a bank. So that's very important as well, that use case. But that's...
I don't know too much about it. I've done a little bit of research here and there or whatever. I'm a very trustworthy person, innit? So like, if I trust someone, I will listen to him. And I've listened to Connor, and I've done a little bit of research, and I've got a little bit of Bitcoin. We set up some other thing as well, just little bits and bobs. And how I see it is, Bitcoin is, it's like, we're not stupid, innit? Over every 10 years or 5 years, the world moves forward and you can see how the world is moving, and part of the world is digital. The world is moving in a digital way. Yeah. It's only right that if we're moving in a digital way, there has to be a digital currency. It's just like, that's just the basic way how I see it. And I don't know nothing about Bitcoin, or I don't tend to tell anyone about it. All I know is this thing's going to go, and it's going to go. Yeah. And why I think that is because the way things have moved digitally, it's only right. Like, there has to be a digital currency. Otherwise, it'll be one thing's going up and we're declining in another way. Yeah. Something has to come. And how it's gone is the digital life, how things are going, are like that. The currency has to catch up. And it's going to blow, because it needs to catch up fairly quick. Because the way digital life is moving, how things are moving digitally, is gone. Like, it's gone through the roof. So the digital currency has to catch up. That's how I see it from my point of view. So, yeah, so I would, like, obviously, I need to look into it more as well, whatever. But I just think it's just going to be the future. And that's how it's going to move forward. It's the only way. Yeah, some people find it hard to understand it because they're like, yeah, cash is this, cash is that. Now I get it. And no one's telling you to part way with all your cash. But put somewhere in it and see what happens. Do you know what I mean? You ain't going to, whether it's a 500 pound or 200 pound.
Makes you want to learn more anyway when you put like a little 5% away of your salary.
Because you've invested in something, you're going to take more interest and you're going to, it's like me, I always check it now. Like, even though I've not done nothing crazy, I still check and see, it's gone up, it's gone down. It's like, you have little conversations with people or whatever, but you're not going to know if you don't put nothing. Whether it's 50 quid, 200 quid, whatever it is, it could be minimal. But once you've put money somewhere, you normally kind of put an eye over it. So it's the best way to kind of, cast your eye over it.
I don't know what people are going to do instead.
Like,
I do want to quickly say, though, very quickly, like, because I get messages about, like, other cryptocurrencies and stuff all the time, Me, personally, like, I'm only investing in Bitcoin. I work in Bitcoin. I work on stuff outside of just investing on it, It's very, I've been through that stage of, there's this new coin, it's got a very low market cap, I can get it for cheap, and like, if the price pumps, like, I'm gonna be a millionaire in like overnight, and it's very tempting to do that, and I'm not telling anyone not to do that. Like, your risk profile is your risk profile. Like, you need to understand what your risk appetite is, but just understand, like, none of these things have fundamental value. Like, these are controlled by individuals who ultimately have a stake in which if they promote the coin in such a way to get lots of people involved, they're going to benefit the most. Because the people that come in the last are going to benefit the least. That's how it's designed. So as long as you're happy with those risks and understanding that this is just gambling, essentially, and then that's fine. But don't go into it thinking this is going to be the next Bitcoin. This, because the Bitcoin thing was a once in a lifetime thing that happened. That's never going to happen again.
For sure.
So just have that in mind when you like think about investing in other opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because people have even messaged me like, I think Shibu Inu, which is like a dog coin.
Similar to Dogecoin. Shibu Inu, Kibu Inu.
Are they gone?
Dogecoin.
So they have gone.
Yeah, they're flying.
Yeah, they're all flying, man.
But again, they have no developers. There is no underlying.
Ain't Dogecoin gone down?
Yeah, it has. The Shibu Inu is like flying. It went up by like 1,000% in like a day or something like that.
When?
Last couple, like recently.
Way.
Yeah, but again, these things, like, extremely volatile. People are like kind of buying it for banter, it seems. People are buying it for banter, it seems, and I wouldn't go gambling your life savings on any of these dog coins. Just back on,
as fast as it goes up, it can go down.
Of course. Okay. You see what happened with Dogecoin. We've seen it. The examples are there. But yeah, so like, I think ultimately in this conversation, though, I think people should do something. So we're living in a society where the prices of everything are increasing year on year. And so you're having to work harder year on year to just maintain. That's not even to increase your life, to maintain. And so you have to do something. I'm not saying, I think Bitcoin is the best solution that's on the table from the research that I've done. But do something. Maybe stocks and shares is your thing. Maybe an ISA is your thing if you're a little bit more conservative. But putting your money in your savings account to save for 10 years... You're gonna be in trouble in 10 years time, because what you think, if something costs 30 grand now and you want to save for it for 10 years, what that 30 grand can buy in 10 years is probably gonna be half of what you can buy. And so you need to do something to increase your purchasing power. I think Bitcoin is the solution. I think Bitcoin is the equalizer. The way that I like to describe Bitcoin is like you said in the last episode, it's the internet of money. What that means is like the internet was like the equalizer for knowledge. Anyone, anywhere with an internet connection had access to information. Now, Bitcoin is the equalizer for finance. Anyone, anywhere with an internet connection has access to a monetary network, somewhere to store their monetary energy. And I think that's really powerful. So yeah, go down the rabbit hole. People have a look because I think it's deeper stuff, man.
My job is done, you know. Like I don't think I need to talk about Bitcoin anymore. We've got him now. Like, that's what it's all about. Like the lessons have been like he's done his lessons.
Yeah, done it. I've done my time in the dojo. Yeah, I'm the master now.
He's been in the dojo training. Like, so I don't even think I need to add anything more, to be honest.
But no, like we always say, like we appreciate you guys. If you've got a moment, please like, comment, subscribe. Let us know. Keep hailing us up in public when you see us. We love that. If you see Connor, tell him like, oh, we see what you're doing, because he's not feeling the love.
I told him. I tell him like one guy said hello to me yesterday. Actually said, oh, how's the podcast going?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's good. Like, they're seeing you now.
But I don't know if it was like directed at me kind of thing. Like, like, how's the podcast going? He just knows I'm like,
just take it. Just take it.
No, we appreciate you guys. Obviously we're gonna come with more of these kind of conversations, more interviews. We're almost at our goal of 1,000 subscribers. If you can share for us, get us to the 1,000 subscribers, we'd really appreciate it. Any kind of last thoughts, lads, before we kind of wrap up?
Nah, nothing, you know, nothing. It's all good. Cool, thanks for the support.
Because this is Thriller.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
It's Halloween.
It's been the Detour on Mat podcast, and we'll see you guys again soon. Peace.
Nice.